Hi, and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar, and I believe we are living in the last days. I hope with this next series of podcasts to explain what is going on and what will happen very soon with regards to the rapture and the tribulation in Bible prophecy. I pray that as you hear this message, it will encourage you to read the good news of Jesus' true salvation for yourself. Seek the truth. Ask God to open your heart, eyes, and mind to understand what the Spirit is trying to tell you. The episode will begin right after this short message. Why are numbers so important in the book of Revelation? I've covered the beginning of the book of Revelation already in the letters of Jesus to the seven churches. There's Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And you can click on over to the blog, and I have links to each of those articles in case you missed them. And they also have a podcast in there, too. The number seven. And there were the seven blessings of Revelation. I did an article on that. And the number seven features prominently throughout the whole Bible, especially in the book of Revelation. I have a little excerpt here from one of the Bible studies in the YouVersion Bible app that was very interesting about the book of Revelation's in dealing with numbers. And it reads, numbers are very important in the book of Revelation. Numbers show up everywhere. One key number is the number seven. The book of Revelation breaks down into seven sections. The letters go to the seven churches of the province of Asia, which is now southwest Turkey. The letter to each of the seven churches breaks down into seven portions. Throughout Revelation, we see a series of numbers coming up again and again. These numbers include 3, 4, 6, 7, 12, 24, and 1,000. To the Jewish person, these numbers had very important meaning, and they would also look for special meaning when these numbers show up. Why is seven so important? It is the number of completion to the Jewish person, like the 7 days of creation. These letters represent the full message of Jesus to these churches. Even though the letters go to seven churches, all of the churches got all the letters. In other words, all the letters are to all the churches. Okay, that's a little confusing. Basically, and I did a lot of study for my novel on how the letters spread around the Mediterranean, and they spread from church to church throughout the whole Roman Empire through Rome's trading lanes and their ships. So, there was a Christian aboard the ship usually all the time. And then he would take a letter from one church to another, they would copy it and then send it off to another church. So that's how all these letters got spread. So, there are other churches in the area. For example, Colossae has a church, and Paul wrote the letter to the church in Colossae. And the number seven represents completeness. So these letters were for all the churches, even if they are not given an individual letter. Okay, so other numbers. Well, 12 is important too. There are 12 tribes of Israel, which will come up with 144,000 or 12,000 people from each tribe. And there were the 12 apostles. Then there's 1,000, the millennium rule of Jesus on this earth after the tribulation, and 6. In fact, 666 is the number of the Antichrist, whom we met in 1 Thessalonians in my last post and podcast. Oh, it's a sign of the end times. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were always trying to test Jesus. They kept asking him for a sign. I want to read from Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. One day the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then Jesus left them and went away. Now, they said to Jesus, "Show us." Jesus said, "Believe first, then I will show you." The sign of the prophet Noah was to let them know that Jesus would be dead for 3 days, then rise from the grave. Remember, Jonah was in the belly of the whale or big fish for 3 days. And you can read about that in the book of Jonah. That's in the Old Testament. Jesus also brought up Noah. And you can read in Genesis 6. And you'll see why Jesus says that the last days will be as it was in Noah's day. And I read from Matthew 14, verses 27 to 41. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. And I'm sorry, I misspoke. That is Matthew 14, 27 through 31. But that is the rapture, and it can happen any day now. We are living in the last days. The idea of Bible prophecy is to apply the prophetic word of God to the acts of God that are happening today or what God is allowing to happen today. The study of Bible prophecy is called eschatology. So what's next in the book of Revelation? Revelation means unveiling, like apocalypse, bringing an understanding. Chapter 1 was the introduction. Chapters 2 and 3 are the letters from Jesus to the churches. From chapter 4 until the end is the future, the end times. Chapters 4 and 5 cover the church in heaven or the believers who will be raptured. 6 through 19 cover the great tribulation, which I'm so glad I won't be around for that. In chapter 19, Jesus returns to earth. That's the second coming, which ushers in the millennial age of chapter 20. And finally, in chapters 21 and 22, we have the new heaven and the new earth, and the devil is gone. Jesus wins. Sweet. Is the rapture the second coming of Jesus? No. Simply because Jesus stays in the sky and calls his believers to him, and we join him in heaven. The second coming is after the tribulation, which Jesus saves us from. That's when we come down with him in the millennial reign. Then finally, in the new heaven and the new earth forever. Yay! It's all about salvation. Salvation does much more than bring you out of darkness and death. Salvation leads you into the presence of God to experience divine communion in prayer, praise, worship, and study. As you read the Bible, pray first. Ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, mind, and heart to understand what God is trying to tell you and wants you to comprehend. Like I explained in the prior post, I'm not planning on doing an in-depth study on Revelation. Pastor Chris Langham already did that very nicely too in throughtheword.org. It's a free Bible study app, which I highly recommend, and it's available through your app store. And I'm going to dose it out in larger chunks, capturing the big ideas in each section. The book of Revelation is a warning to the churches to obey and get with the program or suffer the consequences. It's fairly simple. Jesus said in Revelation 3, verses 19 through 22, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. You know, it's like a parent, okay? You misbehave, you get punished, okay? Continuing, so be earnest and repent. Stop sinning. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, here's a prayer from the Prophetic Gallery series, which I featured in all of the articles on the letters to the churches. They have great little Bible video clips on that, which also found in the Bible app. Father, nothing could allow me into heaven except the death of Jesus for my sin. Nothing. Nothing I can do. Nothing anyone else can do. Nothing else that you would do. As you waited for the death of Jesus, all of heaven was waiting. Once the death of Jesus was accomplished, the door was opened for me and for the rest of mankind. Today, I thank you for making a way available. Thank you that it is for me and all mankind. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you realize that I don't want you to be left behind. Jesus said in Revelation 3, verses 20 through 22, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches." Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. Make sure you download my favorite free Bible study apps, YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. These will make it easy for you to get into the habit of reading the Bible daily. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button, then the share button. The good news of Jesus Christ is meant to be shared. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory.